From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo's planned visit to China reflects ASEAN's neutral stance on U.S.-China rivalry. G20 can help open access and empower women. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's planned visit to China on July 25th and 26th reflects the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN's neutral stance on the China-US rivalry. This was affirmed by a Chinese political observer, Tang Kifang, as quoted by Antara on Friday, July the 22nd. The visit to China shows the neutral and balanced stance of Southeast Asian countries represented by Indonesia on the China-US rivalry. He further said that the visit is very important for bilateral relations between the two countries because President Joko Widodo will be the first head of state in the world to visit China after the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. On the sidelines of the Winter Olympics in Beijing in early February this year, China's President Xi Jinping received visits from several heads of state and government, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. Head of the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, Laksana Trihandoko, has stated that the G20 can play an important role in increasing women's access and empowerment so that they can contribute more to development. As quoted by Antara, according to Handoko in Jakarta on Friday, the role of the G20 in empowering women, especially in G20 countries, is how to open access and to guarantee equal rights for women. He added that the role of the G20 is to encourage the creation of a more friendly environment for women to allow them to pursue careers and professionally contribute to development. He further conveyed that women have a very important role in today's modern era. Women are expected not only to have a career in traditional professions, but also to have penetrated into various other sectors and professions. The Indonesian Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection has urged parents to educate their children about violence and teach them about ways to prevent it. This was stated by Deputy of Special Protection for Children at the Ministry, Nahar, in response to a case involving the bullying of an elementary school student from Tasikmalaya on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He further conveyed that children have to be informed about ways to avoid things which can endanger them. They must also be taught about what is violence and things which can be done to prevent violence. He added that this sort of knowledge is crucial for children because it allows them to be better prepared to engage with their surrounding. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Dutch Minister of Education, Culture and Science, Robert De Graaf, has said that the Netherlands has strengthened bilateral cooperation with Indonesia in the fields of education, research and science. As quoted by Antara, according to the minister in a statement issued on Friday, Indonesia has long been a leading strategic partner for the Netherlands to have cooperated in the fields of education, research and science. Clear policies have emerged from the government of President Joko Widodo to expand research, improve education, and develop critical knowledge in Indonesia. The visit is intended to open up new opportunities for cooperation at the government level and among knowledge institutions. Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations signed a deal on Friday, July the 22nd, allowing Ukraine to resume export of grain. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, on July the 23rd, Turkey, which hosted the signing of the deal in Istanbul, said that the move will mark the first step toward easing an international food crisis exacerbated by Moscow's invasion of its neighbor. The United Nations expects the deal, which will allow the grain exports through the Black Sea, to be fully operational in a few weeks and restore shipments to pre-war levels of 5 million tons a month. Russia and Ukraine are among the world's top food exporters, and Moscow's February 24th invasion has blockaded Ukrainian ports, stranding dozens of ships, leaving 20 million tons of grain stuck in silos and driving upward grain prices. Liz Truss, the leading candidate to succeed Boris Johnson as British Prime Minister, promised to scrap all remaining European Union laws that still apply in Britain by 2023 if she wins the Conservative Party leadership contest. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, today, Foreign Secretary Truss is up against former Finance Minister Rishi Sunak in a race to court the 200,000 members of the Conservative Party who over the course of the summer will vote to choose the country's new prime minister. Britain's relationship with Europe remains of great concern to the Conservative Party membership, generally characterized as more Eurosceptic than the wider population. The port of Dover has declared a critical incident due to six-hour queues leading to the ferry terminal. As reported by BBC.com yesterday, Chief Executive Do Bannister said the port had been badly let down by French border controls. French authorities said an unforeseeable technical incident in the Channel Tunnel meant French border police were delayed into Dover. However, Eurotunnel rejected this, saying it was categorically not the reason for the difficulties. Well, that was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Gianyar, Bali. A total of 18 young choreographers from various provinces in Indonesia participated in a dance laboratory session in the Dance Arts Meeting, a part of the series of agendas for the 2022 Indonesia Bertutur Festival at the Gunung Kawi Tampak Siring site, Gianyar Regency, Bali. Artistic Director of Indonesia Bertutur 2022, Melati Suryo Darmo, in a written statement in Denpasar last Wednesday, July the 20th, said that the Dance Art Meeting towards the 2022 Indonesian Bertutur or Indonesian Speech Festival was held with the reference to a large framework entitled Experiencing the Past, Growing the Future. The event is taking place in Ubud, Gianyar, Bali from July the 18th until 24th. The 2022 Indonesia Bertutur Mega Event Festival is part of the grand event of the G20 Culture Ministers Meeting, which will be held in the Borobudur area, Magelang, Central Jawa in September this year. The next news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Lecturer of Fine Arts Education, University of Muhammadiyah or UNISMU in Makassar, Makmun, who has won 20 international awards in the field of cartoons, participated in an international cartoon and literature event called Gura Humorulul Festival in Romania, which is currently taking place. The university Public Relations Officer Hadi Saputra in Makassar on Tuesday said Makmun participated in an exhibition featuring 260 works from various countries such as Iran, Serbia, Italy, Iraq, China, Turkey, United States, and many others. Makmun, who represents Indonesia, raised the main theme of hoax or fake news. The latest news comes from Bekasi, West Java. A total of 3,500 semaphore flags are ready to surround the Karang Kitri Campground, Karang Mulia Village, Bojong Mangu District in Bekasi Regency, West Java, to break the record of the Indonesian World Record Museum or MURI in the category of raising the most semaphore flags. Bekasi Region Scout Movement Brands Quartier Chairperson Yana Suyatna in Cikarang on Wednesday said that the mass raising of the semaphore flag was planned to coincide with the Scouts' 61st anniversary on Sunday, August the 14th. The raising involved 3,500 Scout members across levels throughout Bekasi Regency. Thousands of Scout members will move the semaphore flags by sending a cipher new Ulang, a cipher news with the phrase Bekasi Regency is getting bolder. Well, that was news from across Indonesia.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event of July 23, 1979, about commemoration of National Children's Day. In Indonesia, National Children's Day is commemorated every July 23rd, in accordance with the decree of the President of the Republic of Indonesia, No. 44, 1984, on July 19, 1984. The choosing of the date was generalized with the Bill of Children Welfare by stipulating the bill about welfare on July 23, 1979. The commemoration of National Children's Day is a momentum to arouse concern and participation of all Indonesians in respecting and guaranteeing children's rights. We move to another event of July 23, 2001, when Megawati Soekarnoputri was sworn in as President of Indonesia. Megawati Soekarnoputri is Indonesia's first female president. She became president after the People's Consultative Assembly, or MPR, held a special session in 2001. This special session was held in response to President Abdurrahman Wahid's move to freeze the MPR and House of Representatives, or DPR, and the Golkar Party. Megawati was sworn in on July 23, 2001. Previously, from 1999 to 2001, she served as vice president in the government of President Abdurrahman Wahid. Megawati's government was marked by the strengthening of democratic consolidation in Indonesia. During her reign, the direct presidential election was held, and it is generally considered one of the successful of the democratization process in Indonesia. We end today in history with the event of July 23, 2005, when bombing was in Sharm el-Sheikh. On July 23, 2005, there was a bombing in the tourism destination of Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, which is located on the southern tip area of the Sinai Peninsula. 88 people were killed in the attack. Most of the victims were Egyptians, and more than 200 others were injured. This attack became the deadliest terrorist act in Egypt's history. The attack happened on Egyptian Revolution Day, a national holiday in Egypt, and it was part of a strategy to disrupt the Egyptian economy by attacking the tourism industry. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Setiap waktu, setiap malam, hatiku tenang jika mengingatmu, oh sayangku. Ku butuh kamu. Kita kan bersama, tak ada bosan, bosannya. Dulu, kini, hingga nanti, sampai kita tua. Sampai menutup mata.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is entitled With Food Estate, Indonesia Can Be the World's Food Barn. Professor of the Bogor Agricultural University IPB, Edi Santosa, is optimistic that the food estate program will be able to support Indonesia to become a global food barn as the Ministry of Agriculture aspires to. He said the Indonesian government is trying to make Indonesia a world food storage barn by 2045. Quoting the Antara News Agency report, Edi Santoso in his statement said, "This is very likely to be realized, but Indonesia must have sincerity and seriousness to make it happen." According to him, food estate will maintain food security. Therefore, this program is expected to have high competitiveness. He added, "Food estates must be built with competitiveness so that later it supports Indonesia's ideals as the world's food barn." The Indonesian government has established food estate areas in two provinces, namely Central Kalimantan, to be exact Pulang Pisau and Kapuas Regencies, and Humbang Hasundutan, North Sumatra and East Nusa Tenggara Regencies. In addition, the government also plans to expand the food estate program to South Sumatra provinces and Papua. Meanwhile, the head of the National Mainstay Farmers and Fishermen Contact, Yadi Sofyan Nur, stated that the development of the food estates in Central Kalimantan could make Indonesia one of the strongest countries in the world. According to Yadi Sofyan Nur, the program developed by the Ministry of Agriculture has shown maximum yield progress. Based on the data he has collected, the average land shrinkage in Indonesia reaches 150,000 hectares per year, while the data for paddy fields is under 100,000 hectares, to be exact 60,000 per year. However, with the existence of a food estate, rice field printing grows faster and more optimally. President Joko Widodo said the development of the food estate was the government's effort to realize national food security as an anticipatory step in facing a food crisis. The concept of developing a food estate is carried out in an integrated manner, including agriculture, plantations, and even livestock in an area. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Bila suasana di hatimu membuat resah tak menentu, katakanlah oh kasih, bukalah hatimu, janganlah kau ragu.
Mendekatlah padaku, letakkan tanganmu di dada. Rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu, tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku. Selama ini hanyalah untukmu.
dekatlah padaku.
Dekatlah padaku.
Letakkan tanganmu di dadaku.
Rasakanlah oh kasih, getaran cinta yang ada di hatiku.
Semua itu karena dirimu, semua untukmu. Tulusnya cinta yang ada di hatiku selama ini hanyalah untukmu.
International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Bengkawah Waterfall in Central Java. Pemalang Regency belongs to Central Java Province. The capital city of Pemalang Regency is Pemalang. It has one of the tourism destinations, namely Bengkawah Waterfall, which has become one of the unique tourism destinations until now. It is widely visited because of its Instagrammable spot. Bengkawah Waterfall has a water source which comes from the Kluweh River. The location of the Bengkawah Waterfall is precisely located on Sikasur Simpur Road in Sikasur Village, Randu Dongkal District, Pemalang Regency, Central Java. Listener, the expanse of forest which surrounds the Bengkawah Waterfall is a very exotic natural scenery. It makes the location of the Bengkawah waterfall highly recommended to visit, particularly for lovers of natural tourism. When you are here, you will also find a lot of animals, such as monkeys, going in and out. The water in the Bengkawah waterfall is famous for its clarity and has never experienced a period of drought. The river water continuously flows through the rocks and flows into a natural pool at the bottom of the Bengkawah waterfall, which has depth around 3 meters. Listener, Bengkawah waterfall is also often said as the twin waterfall because there are 2 streams of water separated by rocks. The waterfall is about 20 meters high. Despite the freshness of the water being very tempting, visitors are recommended not to swim at the location since the water flow is quite heavy and dangerous. Therefore, most visitors enjoy the atmosphere by only playing in the water on the edge of the pond and also enjoying the view by taking photos. Even many visitors may camp around the waterfall. Listener, to visit the tourism location of Bengkawah waterfall, you can use a private vehicle or public transportation. For you who take public transportation, such as buses and other vehicles, you can stop at Randu Dongkal district and afterwards, please continue by using a taxi motorbike. You don't need to worry to have a vacation here because the manager of the waterfall has provided quite complete facilities such as food courts, rest area, and other facilities. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow for another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Berjalan di gelap malam, langkahku pun tertati, telah membeku hatiku ini, rasanya kau takkan tahu. Untuk sejenak ini ku akhiri, namun rasa cinta tak ingin berlalu. Cuma kamu yang mampu sembuhkan hati yang terluka, aku yang terluka karena kamu. Sadari betapa sakitnya aku karena kamu, karena kamu, cinta matiku. Bagaimanakah kisah cinta kita? Terasa sedih, ingin ku tangisi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia.
Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, every region of Indonesia is rich in varieties of fruits with different tastes. One of them is Jakarta, which has a variety of distinctive types of fruit. The famous fruits native to Jakarta include salak condet and rambutan lebak bulus. But for avocado, it is still unfamiliar to originate from Jakarta, especially cipedak avocado. Avocado itself is not actually a native fruit from Indonesia, but from Central America, and entered Indonesia around the 17th century. After entering Indonesia, various new types developed. One of them is cipedak avocado. However, the cipedak avocado typical of Jakarta is rarely sold in the market. Therefore, a young farmer from Jakarta, Ahmad Fahrizal, found an opportunity to cultivate cipedak avocado because it has high economic value. In addition, he also wants to help preserve this fruit. Fahrizal built his own cipedak avocado cultivation garden with superior quality, both in the form of seeds and fruit. Now the results of his cultivation are in demand by farmers in various parts of Indonesia. To make this cipedak avocado be better known, Ahmad propagates the seeds by early grafting. According to Ahmad, usually for conventional shoot grafting, the length of the stem is 30 cm from the ground. But with the early shot grafting method, the required stem length is only 10 cm from the ground. With the finding of early shoot grafting technique, Ahmad has become one of the most popular cipedak avocado breeders in Jakarta, especially South Jakarta area. Being serious in preserving cipedak avocado, Ahmad has carried out not only cultivation process, but also registration of cipedak avocado as a geographical indication commodity in the cipedak South Jakarta area. It will make cipedak easier to become a center for cipedak avocado. Its variety was also legally registered in 2015. In the future, he is determined to introduce cipedak avocado to the world market. With a savory taste like cheese and medium size, and also its status as one of the best 30 varieties in the world, he is sure that the cipedak avocado will be like in the world market. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Apa bodoh diri membiarkanmu pergi jauh dari hati.
Ku coba mengobati tu punya kekasih lagi, namun ku sadar diri hatiku di kamu. Man
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Lukisan Malam by Sam Saimun. The song was composed by Sakti Alamsyah, a senior broadcaster of RRI Bandung West Java, who is also former of director, chief editor of daily paper Pikiran Rakyat. According to Pedoman Radio magazine in 1949, in Bandung, there was a new movement in creating songs. It aimed to establish cooperation between the composer and literator. In creating lyrics of a song, the composer could exploit a literator skill, because at that time, more lyrics of the song were written by the composers were undervalued, especially in the sentence structure. It became a number of literators who switched their professions to be songwriter. In 1950s, a song entitled Lukisan Malam was released and sung by Sam Simon. The song was accompanied by the prestigious music group Irama Trio. Well, listener, here is Sam Simon with the keroncong song Lukisan Malam.
Bertaburan di angkasa segala menghias alam. Angin pulang lemah gemerai mengusap bumi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yo
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.